Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, folks, follow after me. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, just listen to the excitable boy. It's a guy who rubbed the pot roast all over his chest. The excitable boy was all they said. He's just an excitable boy. All right, we'll slowly groove into it. 4 a.m. show with the Clark. Excitable boy, they all said. I may just listen to this all night. All right, now the women say. The late Warren Zevon, an excitable boy. That's the way I feel tonight. When you're dropping the puck, game five from the fleet, Boston and Toronto, heading into just a phenomenal weekend. This next verse, LeVay, kind of fills into the category of serial killers. He took little Susie to the prom. The excitable boy was all they said, but then he raped her and he killed her. Well, it's brutal, but that was Warren Zevon. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please listen to the Werewolves of London, the Lawyers, Guns, and Money LP, one of the greats of all time, featuring my all-time favorite song called Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner. All right, enough of Warren Zevon. Let's get things rolling into the night with Rick. But see, that's what's great about having my own show tonight. I can do things like that. Can you imagine how many times I would have been interrupted if I did that during my earlier show? But, you know, I can just kind of ease into it tonight and have some fun. That's what we call Into the Night with Rick Ballew. And we've got a ton to do on this Friday evening. Jalen Ramsey has responded. You knew it was going to happen. I would have some perspiration right now. I'd have it below my eyes. I'd have it above my lip. I'd have it where the hairline is beginning to recede. I am going to continue to beat that drum. Jalen's comments today via social media were kind of what I expected. But it still doesn't get us to the point of not knowing what is going to happen come the month of August. This man has the opportunity right now to hold this city hostage. And I am a huge fan of Jalen Ramsey. He is an incredible talent, but he is also a guy that I think is perceived as being selfish. Today he came out with comments saying, fully aware, voluntary, I don't have to be there. I know the exact reasons why I'm not. My teammates know what's going on. Peace and love and peace and love and peace and love. Really? That's not the way Doug Marrone acted when we spoke with him on Tuesday. That wasn't the way that Tom Coughlin acted when he spoke to us on Thursday. So, believe what you want. In this case, where are you going? The czar, a.k.a. the godfather, the head coach, who I think is almost truthful to a fault, or, dare I say, a guy that's heading down the road into Divaville. And that's exactly what Jalen Ramsey is doing right now. If I was to throw out a survey or throw out any type of poll, I think I got a little bit of a pulse on what's going on out there. After all, I played nothing but the hits, case in point, The Excitable Boy by Warren Zevon. It would be an overwhelming support of Jalen Ramsey, and I wouldn't expect it to be any other way. I mean, after all, when you get to professional football, how many coaches are going to overstate or be able to be more of a presence in someone that the entire organization of fans support behind the star player. How many are there out there? Maybe Bill Belichick? Don't Mike Tomlin me, okay? If it wasn't for the support of the Rooney family, he'd be long gone. They've been loyal. They've had three coaches in 50 years. But there has to be some pressure now on Mike Tomlin. When you let Le'Veon Bell go for next to nothing, and you let Antonio Brown go for, what, a third and a fifth? I think for both players who were gone, they got two-thirds and a fifth. And they haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. So don't Mike Tomlin me. You can't Mike McCarthy me anymore. We saw who won that battle in the smear campaign that came out recently about everything that was being said, including massages during meetings for Mike McCarthy. Oh, boy. Is it Pete Carroll? I don't think so. That's just my point. I mean, it's going to be Jalen over everyone else. This is big time. This is Jacksonville getting mentioned. I remember years and years and years where Jacksonville wasn't even a blip on the... They weren't even a bleep on the screen. I mean, the Maurice Jones-Drew holdout got very little traction because it was Jacksonville. And MJD during his career was outstanding. I happen to think MJD needs his number retired. I think he should be up there with Boselli and Smith and Taylor and Brunel. I really do. I think he was that good. And he played during an era where there were terrible football players. He played on a lousy team. But Jalen's a true superstar. And I keep referencing Antonio Brown because it's got me nervous. I still believe there's going to be an overlapping factor after what Antonio Brown did. Now, I'd like to say that there's a difference between Brown and Ramsey. Antonio Brown is an awful human being. There's no other way to say it. He's a terrible person. He talked his way out of Pittsburgh. That organization settled on a third and a fifth. He doubled his money, and he's still taking shots at the organization. I mean, that is a brutal human being. This guy got what he wanted, got paid nearly twice the amount of money, and is still launching scuds at the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a bad person. I don't want to believe that that's the case for Jalen Ramsey. I want to believe he's a real good guy. Despite boycotting the media and blocking out the media and, you know, is he listening to coaches? Did he listen to Perry Fuel? Does he listen? I still think he's a good guy. And he's much better in this city than not in this city. But you can't ignore what's going on. And you need to be prepared for what could take place. That would be the absolute worst scenario right before the start of the season. There is nothing worse that this organization could endure outside of Jalen Ramsey not being here for the start of training camp. Do you have any idea what that could do to this football team? I'm going to say it every single night that I am on this radio station. Sign Jalen Ramsey. Sign him. I don't want to hear about year four. I don't want to hear about picking up that fifth-year option that you're allowed to do on first-round draft. I'm not interested. I'm uninterested in a franchise tag in year six. I don't want to hear it. Pay your best player. Make your best player happy. Why wait it out? You're not the New England Patriots. You don't have the luxury of moving Chandler Jones and moving all the great players that have come on down the pike and just saying, you know what? See you later. We'll move you. We can't afford you. You're the Jacksonville Jaguars. You've gone through coaches. You've gone through offensive coordinators. You've gone through defensive coordinators. You've gone through quarterbacks. You've gone through different position players. You have not been able to put your finger on one particular guy and say, he's the benchmark. He's the team. This is what we build around. And I understand that others out there will say, well, when's the last time a great corner has ever taken a team to the Super Bowl? I had someone say that to me the other day. Oh, really? You don't think Darrell Revis helped out in New England? You don't think Sherman helped out in Seattle? You don't think Deion helped out in Dallas? Now, that's going back some years. I'll give you that. I understand there's not a lot of money, and I understand there's not a lot of money because of mistakes that the front office has made. They're licking their wounds. What is it, $44.5 million in dead money? It's unbelievable. Bortles, Malik, Gibson, it goes on and on and on. You put it together and you went on a run. That run is over. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be projected to finish last in the AFC South by an overwhelming number. All of these so-called experts are going to pick either Indianapolis or Houston, and Tennessee's going to finish third. Jacksonville is projected to being number four. And those are the facts. You need to set your organization and your foundation, and Jalen Ramsey has to be a part of it. I don't fault either side on this. I don't fault Coughlin for what he did. I actually admired what he did. Because at his age, you can't change him. Michael Strahan did his best. You know, back in 04, there were problems with Coughlin and the National Football League Players Association. Coughlin didn't want to change then. What was it, a couple of years ago, 2017, right here in town? He wanted players in for physicals in March. That's against the National Football League Players Association in their rule. That was collectively bargained. Coughlin didn't care. He's old school. He wanted them in. That raised some concerns. So Tom's had to step up before and listen to the league. And he worked for the league the year he was out in between New York and Jacksonville. I admire what he did. I like what he did. I just hope he's ready to face the consequences. Times have changed, ladies and gentlemen. It's the players over the front office. It's the players over the coach. I remember 10 plus whatever years ago it was, and I apologize here because I don't remember the actual season that Joe Gibbs placed a phone call to the late Sean Taylor. And I remember hearing that Sean Taylor wouldn't return his phone call. And I remember how my blood boiled. I said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Here's a three-time Super Bowl winning head coach who's trying to reach out to his young superstar safety, and he won't return the call. And at that particular time, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, guess what? This organization has reached out to Jalen Ramsey as well. He's not returning the call. Is he not returning the call because he doesn't have time? No. He's not returning the call because he's sending a message. And Jalen has sent the message before. The whole trade issue and the whole sign me issue. What's it going to be? They're not going to trade him. You better sign him. Sign him. What's the holdup? Why keep your best player angry? Get that deal done. And we'll talk about that tonight. Going to give you an opportunity as well to voice your opinion on it. We are extremely busy right here on a Friday. I can feel the energy tonight. You know, I've been named a lot of things over the years. I've been named the Truth Teller. I've also been named the Tea Time Killer. And case in point was today I ruined a foursome. It was my fault that we had Mother Nature do what it did earlier this afternoon. I haven't checked. Hopefully it gets better. I'm heading to Orlando with the daughters for Universal. And, you know, I don't even know what to expect. I'm not even going into Universal. I'm not even purchasing a pass. I'm just going to be sitting by the Hard Rock Cafe pool, drinking, parking the GMC from Key, allowing the girls to go do what they want, and they'll tell me when they're hungry, and I'll meet them. It's as simple as that. So it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend, sitting by the pool, drinking some cocktails, watching everything that is happening in the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, in Major League Baseball. What an unbelievable time of year. The third weekend of April is outstanding. All right, we've got a lot to do tonight. We really do. Matt Hayes is going to join us for the second time this week because he had a chance to get on a UCF today. We'll get the very latest on Milton, the quarterback scenario, the overall feel of this football team. Can you imagine that? Talking about the way times have changed, we're actually going to do somewhat of a preview on UCF in the month of April. And what has happened to this world? I'm not going to waste all of your time on that because I understand I'm only talking to probably a couple of hundred people who actually do care about Central Florida when it comes to football. But they do deserve some attention. So we're going to do that with Matt Hayes here each and every day from noon to 3 on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. And then we're going to dive headfirst into this topic on Jalen right now in the organization. Maybe I'm overdoing it. Maybe I'm all concerned and I really don't need to be. Jalen will be here when he has to. He's not going to hold out and it won't be an issue. Boy, wouldn't that be fantastic? For all I know, maybe Tom Coughlin knows that. Maybe David Caldwell knows that. Maybe Doug Marrone knows that. I just don't feel like that's the case after what I heard from those two this week. Maybe you think differently. I'm going to give you a full opportunity to dive into that tonight. So we are absolutely jam-packed. It's a Friday night. We go into the night. My name is Rick Ballew. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Matt Hayes is on the road in Orlando, the University of Central Florida. Get the very latest from Matt Hayes. He goes into the night with Rick Ballew, the friendly confines. You're certainly familiar with Orlando, so I guess welcome back to those particular parts.
It's great to be back with the truth teller.
Hey, this is an unbelievable story, Mackenzie Milton. What a lot of fun he is to watch, and I know you had a chance to sit down with him today. How did it go?
I did a profile on him last November. He's an impressive kid back then, and just more of the same this time. I mean, just even more so knowing what he's looking at and what he's going through right now. I mean, he's dealt with a lot already, and he's got a lot more on his plate to deal with. The strangest part of all, Rick, is he didn't tear his ACL. His ACL's fine. His MCL's fine. Basically, his problem is the nerve damage.
Yeah.
So when he dislocated his knee, it was the stretching of the nerve, that in the vein. And the vein was frayed, and they had to, or the artery, I should say, was frayed and had to take part of his artery from his other leg and put it in his bad leg to get the blood flow. There was no blood flow at one point.
Mm. Sounds awful. It looked awful. And, everyone's familiar with the great run they've had over the last couple of years. They won 23 straight under this young man. And, the big deal now is his availability. How long is this process going to take? Is there any chance that he's back for 2019?
No way. He's a really spiritual guy. He keeps saying, it's not up to me. It's, whenever God wants me back, I'll be back. But the reality is it's a nasty injury that very few, if any, will come back from. I mean, Heath Miller just retired. He couldn't come back from. And again, Heath Miller's probably 33, 34 years old, 35 years old. So he's, a good 10, 12 years older than Mackenzie Milton. And it's a lot easier for a younger guy to return to something like that than an older guy.
Mm-hmm.
Older. I'm talking a 30, low 30s and older.
Right.
But that's kind of the reality of it. I mean, my best guess would be he's probably going to start really getting back into running and cutting, if it's possible. If that ever happens again, it wouldn't be until probably January.
Wow.
And then I can't see him getting ready in 8 or 9 months to play. My guess is just my guess. And he thinks he might be able to play in 2020. My guess is probably going to be more like 2021 if he plays.
All right. What now? Get us caught up, because the medical red shirt, things along those lines. He would just have 1 year remaining.
So he has not taken a red shirt yet. So the idea is you take a red shirt for one of the years, you get a medical red shirt for the other. Whatever you have to appeal to get your sixth year of eligibility. So that's probably what he's looking at. Again, this is if everything works out and everything hits exactly the way they want it, that's where he'll be. But and again, we say that, but you have to look at so far what has happened in the first 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Every goal they've given him as far as coming back, as far as where he should be, he's exceeded it, wildly exceeded every standard they've set.
Yeah.
So the idea is, does he continue to do that? Does he continue to put himself in situations to get back and play? And again, he wants to play, loves football, loves the game, wants to prove that he can do it. No, but I think his long-term goal is the coach.
Yeah. Well, he's learned from a couple of good ones, Scott Frost, and now he's learning from Josh Heupel, talking with Matt Hayes, who, of course, covers everything that is college football and other things for us here at 1010XL and 92.5 FM. You can listen to Matt noon to 3 daily. He's on the campus of Central Florida, Mackenzie Milton, the brutal leg injury. So, you know, the attitude and in everything along those lines, I would think that for a long period of time, he was pretty dark and in a shell. What did he seem like when you met with him this afternoon?
You know what's crazy, Rick, is he wasn't. He wasn't. He said, you know, he said it was really weird. It was a really matter-of-fact. It was like, here's what happened. I see what happened. Here's what they're telling me I have to do, and this is what I'm doing. You know, I asked him, I said, you know, what would, you know, worst day in the last 5 months? And, you know, and he's thinking about it, and he's like, he couldn't come up with one. Mm-hmm. You know, he really couldn't come up with one. He said, if anything, it was probably, you know, seven straight nights in the hospital, you know, before he, initially, right after the injury. And, you know, he's very positive about it. And so I got to tell you, I love being around guys that are very positive about things, that give you a positive outlook, because I'm not the most positive guy, Rick. I don't know if you know that or not. But it kind of like, you know, it kind of like rubs off on you. It makes you think like, yeah, this is the way it should be, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, us in the sports world, we're very cynical, you know? So it's very easy to get caught up in that cynical, negative idea. But, boy, you see a kid like that who has been through what he's been through, and he is just nothing but relentlessly positive. And I mean, you look at him and you think, yeah, if anybody can do it, this kid's going to do it. And
yeah.
He lost 30 pounds. He was down to like 150. He's gained it all back in the last few months. He's working out upper body. He's working out his left leg, because his right one is the one that's injured. And he's, you know, it's, you know, I asked him, I said, what does it feel like? He said, you know, when you sit wrong on your leg and you stand up, legs asleep. It's a lot like that. It's just like a heavy leg.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's, you know, just same kind of tingling, same kind of stuff like that.
You know, Dario Mack Jr. did a nice job when he spelled them. They acquire Brandon Wimbush via the transfer portal. So kind of set the scene for us now on a Josh Heupel. What do you expect this season coming up under center?
Well, I think under center, you know, I mean, Mack is young. And I think he's got a long way to go, and I think he's got a lot of talent. And Wimbush, I don't know if I would just throw everything at you. See what he did in the spring game, like, whoa, this isn't going to work. I mean, he got on campus. He's been there for 3 months. He's been, you know, within the practicing with his teammates for 15 times.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's not going to happen there. I would let that work out, let it go through fall camp, let him get the 4 weeks of practice, and then we'll see what kind of decision we can make and whether it's going to work there for him. But, I mean, they're very good on the line of scrimmage. They're very good at the skill position. You know, and I was on Frank's show earlier today. I really believe they're so good now, Rick, because, you know, they will get maybe one out of every 10 that they go up against Florida State and Miami. Maybe one out of every 15. The players they get in the state now are the players that when they don't go to Florida State, mm-hmm. go to Michigan State or go to Ohio State or go to NC State. You know, those guys down in South Florida and in Orlando that go out, they're now starting to stay and play at UCF. And that's why I think you see their skill guys and you're like, wow, how can their skill guys be better than Miami skill guys or Florida skill guys? But that's what they're doing. And they recruited really well under Frost, and Heupel's doing the same thing.
All right, so 1 through 85, maybe they're a little bit deeper, a little bit better than they have been, even during that great run. What about the starting 22, though, and what do you believe this year? Do they come back down to life a little bit, or with their schedule, or are we looking at them ranked in the top 10 a great deal of this season?
I don't know if it'll be the top 10, but, I mean, Rick, the reality is, you know, when they played LSU, Mack did not play that poorly. He clearly was a little overwhelmed, but you could see that he's got ability. And again, that wasn't LSU's full defense, and I get that. But he has ability. And I think if he just continues to grow as they expect him to grow, the key is going to be, can he, you know, the ball security. Can he prevent them from putting them in situations where they're turning the ball over multiple times? Because that just kills you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what young guys do. So if he can avoid that, I think they'll be fine. I don't know about top 10, but would I be shocked if November rolls around and they're unbeaten? Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Well, if they're undefeated by November, then I think that's deserving of another banner.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the schedule.
Hey, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this right now, man. If Bill didn't get injured, you know, they beat that LSU team without the 9th and 5th starters. There's no doubt they would.
Yeah. They go to Pitt this year. Was that the game that was canceled? What game was canceled? Was it NC State?
By 40 last year, I think.
Was it NC State that was canceled? There was a cancellation,
ago, right?
I thought. Maybe.
It was Georgia Tech, I think, 2 years ago.
Okay.
Right?
All right, so Florida A&M, Florida Atlantic, Stanford, there you go. And that's a home
season
game.
Season opener, right? Or not?
Boy, third game. Yeah, they third got game. Stanford okay. to travel there. Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Their home and homes they got.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, this, you know, on the surface, you know, this looks like a three or four possible tough games. So, I mean, this should be somewhere in the where of a 9-3, 10-2 type season at worst for Josh Heupel.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're thinking way more than that. I mean, I know they are.
Yeah, I said
so,
at worst.
I mean, if they beat Stanford, it will absolutely have to make people stand up and say, okay, come on. I mean, you can't ignore it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's in Orlando, if they beat a physical Stanford team that just beats up on teams, you got to stand up and say, okay, they're doing something there. Something that they're doing is right.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a blast. I mean, the Rattlers early on, Florida Atlantic will be, you know, a little bit of a pub there. And then, of course, Stanford in week three, so the first home game. All right, Matt, great stuff as always. Make sure you enjoy your weekend.
All right, my man, you too.
There he goes, Matt Hayes with us right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Out covering Mackenzie Milton. I like the story with him. I didn't realize that there was no shot for him this year until I just heard that from Matt Hayes. I knew it was a long road. I thought there might have been a possibility for him, you know, coming back midway, maybe late in the year. I mean, it's only April now. Albeit it's the, 19th of April. But that leaves you with a couple weeks left here. You got May, you got June, you got July, you got August. I was thinking maybe he'd come back about halfway through, but not even close. You heard Matt say after sitting down with him today, he won't be able to do some cutting and some running until probably January. You know, it's just brutal when you lose players like that. It seems like all of our focus, deservedly so now, injury-wise in football, is with concussions. I think we often forget that there are several other injuries that do happen from the waist down, particularly a knee. You blow that out, you're gone. You're gone for at least a year if it's an ACL. You blow out an Achilles tendon, you're out for at least a year. And this kid was fun to watch. I know I've had my fun with Central Florida. The only reason why I'm doing that is because the fans, I have always thought that instead of acting like, hey, respect us, come notice us, it was more of foolishness by really thinking that you could beat heavy hitters in the world of college football and by hanging banners. You really embarrassed yourself as a fan base. There's no other way to say it. That's not going to fly in this state where there's national champions in Tallahassee, Gainesville, and Miami. You got to earn it. And as I've been telling you forever, and I know Danny White believes he's done a wonderful job there, and he's going to go deep into the budget and purchase another banner, and you're going to hang it. And when you do, you're going to be the laughingstock of college football. You should look back to what Howard Schnellenberger and Bobby Bowden did. They got up and they went on the road and they played everyone. And I know you're going to say, well, we can't afford to do that now. Don't tell me you can't afford it. You got 50,000 kids enrolled at the University of Central Florida. If you really want to build your brand, you become a road warrior. You take them all on. You do. Florida never had to do that because they were in the SEC. Now, Florida didn't win anything without cheating for like 100 years. But Miami had to go on the road and play people, and they never came down there to play. Go back and look and see how many times Florida State had to go to Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, Auburn, and look at the return trips that they made to God's country. I remember in 1991, they went to Ann Arbor and boat raced them, 51-31. You think those boys from Michigan were going to travel to Tallahassee to play a game? They weren't a shot in hell that they would do that. Not a shot in hell. Even the Notre Dame, 93-94, you go to South Bend, the game of the century. You think Notre Dame was going to return to Tallahassee in 1994? No. They worked out a nice little deal where they got half the tickets in Orlando. That's my point. Bobby Bowden was like, fine, we'll go play you. We'll go to Nebraska. How many times did Nebraska come to Tallahassee? They went everywhere. Howard Schnellenberger to Miami went everywhere. Central Florida needs to do that. Don't tell me about schedules are locked. I don't want to hear that nonsense. That's rubbish. If you really want the credibility to be considered a fourth major power in this state, make yourself so established that you have the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, whoever, the Big 12, knocking down your door to join their conference. I don't even know what ridiculous conference you're in right now. I want to say that 95% of our listening audience right now doesn't even know the name of the conference that Central Florida is in tonight. And that they can't name four other opponents in their conference. And I'm talking to a great football audience. Brilliant football audience. Listen to the truth teller. He knows what he's talking about. Go on the road and join a major conference. Then you'll get your respect. Stop hanging stupid banners. All right, when we do return, let's get back to Jalen and Coughlin here. I expect some reaction from you. I know you're out chasing women on this Friday night. That's expected. But I'm demanding a few minutes of your time. Who do you got here? Who do you side with? And am I the only one in this town that has a little bit of apprehension about Jalen and a holdout in August? Is this a foolish pipe dream that only I have? And it's not and will not resonate with you. Give me your thoughts on that. Wide open phone lines. Time for you to get in is now. 641-1010. 641-1010. Or hit me on Twitter tonight, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, at 1010XL.com.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I've been getting a lot of hits from you on social media over the last couple of days after the Jason Lockenfora tweet that Jeff Fisher responded to. I guess Lockenfora came out and said that he was hearing that Fisher was on his way to a job in the XFL. Fisher responded and said, no. You might want to get some better sources. And
you are fake news.
Yeah. People have just been filling up my inbox with that. I didn't respond to it earlier. I don't know. I just wasn't that important to me. The guy makes stuff up. That's why I called him out. That's why James Coleman called him out. Make stuff up. There's not a leak from Tom Coughlin. And to make something like that up is asinine. And he deserved to be called out for it. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're not telling the truth with your reporting on an incident like that, how can you believe anything that he says? Now, he could have said that he believed that that could happen, because every show host on this station has at some point said, I would not be surprised if Tom Coughlin replaces Doug Marrone on the sideline. And that'll continue this year. if the Jaguars struggle out of the gate, there is a viable chance that Tom Coughlin could come down and coach the team. We all know that. But don't say that sources have leaked information from Coughlin, who tells no one nothing. That's where Lock and Fora lost points. And now he's getting beaten up by Jeff Fisher. So you make stuff up, you don't tell the truth, you're going to get caught in this business. And Jason Lock and Fora did. So I do apologize. I know many people have reached out to me on it, and I just, for one reason or another, haven't really responded to it. If it was that important to me, I would have begun with it last night at 7 o'clock. I just saw something else that came in a moment ago. I wasn't even going to talk about it. I want to get back to the Jags here. It's embarrassing for him as a professional. It's embarrassing for him when he wants to be mentioned in the same breath as Schefter and Glazer. And, you know, Mort doesn't do as much anymore. Who's the other guy I'm thinking of? NFL Network. Come on, LeVay. You need to help me out in this stuff. What's his name? The little guy. I could dunk on him. No, not Glazer. He's Fox. I wouldn't dunk on Glazer because he'd give me a shot to the ribs as I would go up. They're all tiny guys. Schefter's about 5'2". Glazer's about 5'4". But he's about weighs about 250 pounds. He's an MMA guy. Rappaport is who I'm thinking of. It's an embarrassment to those guys who work hard and have sources. There's only a few true information breakers in the business. You know, when people take shots at the local media, you hear a lot of, well, why isn't the local media breaking a Jaguar story? I'll tell you exactly why the local media is not breaking a Jaguar story. Because the agent picks up the phone and calls Schefter or Rappaport or Glazer. They don't call a local guy out here in Jacksonville. And it happens in markets all over the place. Even happens in markets like Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. Happens there. More and more of this. That's the truth. And Lock and Four is just dying to be mentioned in that same breath. And he's not. He really embarrasses himself quite a bit. And he's done it again now with Fisher. You know, it's funny, every once in a while I'll go to his Twitter and he'll mention something and then I'll just read his mentions. And he's just getting destroyed from like every part of the United States of America. It doesn't matter where the tweet response is coming from. It's all about him being a total joke. So, anyway, my two cents on that. Let's get to Matt. He is up into the night with Rick Ballew. How you doing, Matt?
Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
Question for you about this contract issue and everything. My take on it is, why are they treated differently? I'm on JFRD. We sign a contract. We get a raise for 3 years. If Orlando comes up and Orlando Fire Department gets a better raise, we can't sit back and just say, well, we're not going to show up because we want a better deal. So why are they privileged to such? If you're not happy with your deal, don't sign it.
Well, you have to sign. You're slotted in for the first 4 years as a rookie. And first round draft picks, a team has a fifth year option. So there's not a thing in the world that Jalen Ramsey can do to make more money in the first 5 years of his contract. Also, in year six, the team can put a franchise tag on Jalen Ramsey. Now, this was all collectively bargained by the NFL and the NFL Players Association. And the Players Association want veterans to be paid more money and guys having their second and third contracts having more money than rookies. And it's because Jamarcus Russell and Cade McNown and Ryan Leaf and all these, they ruined that for guys like Jalen Ramsey. So there's your reasoning as to why that happened.
But if he's not happy, don't sign it. Because,
well, he's not going to get paid anywhere else. He's still the rights of the Jags.
Yes, but what I'm getting at, though, is if you sign a contract, it's your integrity. You signed it. You bought it, and it's yours. fire department. We signed it. It's ours. And why are they any different, though? Why? I mean, to me, it makes no sense that they can actually go back on a legal document and fight it.
Yeah, and the difference is that it's in the public eye, because you signed a contract with the fire department, or that is your example, and you are going to live to that contract. I've been in this business for nearly 28 years. There's a lot of people in radio that signed deals, that felt they bettered that deal, and forced their way back to the negotiating table. There's a lot of business owners out there listening tonight, or employees who work for a company where they signed a deal, and maybe incentive-wise, they went way past what they felt they could hit and what their boss at the time thought that they could hit. And maybe there was a time and a period where they said, all right, I'll sit back here and see if I'm approached by the organization. Will they redo my contract? I'm bringing in way more money now than they thought I could. And if they don't, you say, hey, here's the deal. Time for me to get paid more money. So we talk about this in the NFL because it's there for us all to see and to hear, and we know the money involved. But this type of stuff happens in the business world all over the place. I mean, absolutely. All over the place. So it's not just held to football terms. But I don't really think the Antonio Brown situation has screwed this up a little bit, because the worst-case scenario for the NFL happened with Antonio Brown, because he weaseled his way out. All the organization got was a third and a fifth, and this man nearly doubled his money. And we've always been told that the NFL is a copycat league. There are going to be others who are going to look at Antonio Brown and what he did, and the exact same thing is going to take place. I know the other side of it is, well, what about Le'Veon Bell? There was a difference there. There was a franchise tag with Le'Veon Bell. This Antonio Brown deal was simply him saying, that's it. I'm not going to play anymore. Team is this, this, and this. And frankly, I'm surprised we haven't seen more of it. I think it's going to happen. I really believe that. I think there's going to be a couple of examples that come up real soon. I mean, look at Jadeveon Clowney right now over in Houston. That's a scary situation. Look at Julio Jones right now out in Atlanta. That's a scary situation. Whether you slap tags on them or not, they want to get paid more money. Jalen Ramsey has absolutely zero leverage right now. He's getting ready for year four of his contract. Let me pull it up right now. He's scheduled to make, well, his cap number is 7.429. After his signing bonus, he'll actually make 3.79 this year. That's what he's looking at. We just talked about Mackenzie Milton. Folks, I would imagine in Jalen Ramsey's ear and other stars' ear are, hey, man, you need to get your second contract. What if you get injured? You're still playing under the rookie contract. And even though it was a pretty good deal because he was, what, the fifth overall pick, it's nothing compared to what it actually could be. The total value of the contract for Jalen Ramsey was $23,350,000. Fully guaranteed. And now they'll put a fifth-year team-only option on his contract for the season of 2020. Remember, that can only happen for first-round draft picks, not second-rounders. So, does Jalen want to pay for that amount of money? Or does Jalen believe he right now is in the prime of his career, he's the best defensive back in the NFL, and he wants to get paid? Say what you want about Gene Smith. Gene Smith signed MJD earlier than he could have. There is so much that happens in football where you are paid, and it happens in life in general, where you are paid based on what they believe you are going to do, not on what you have already done. I think the businessman, the athlete, and the agent who works for him will go to the table and say, look at what my client has done. And the general manager and the vice president of operations and the team owner, they're going to say, and thank you for what you have done. You were paid for that as well. We're going to pay you now for what we believe you're going to do for us in the future. I say pay Jalen Ramsey. If I had any say, I'd pay him right now. I'd find a way to do it. But I don't know how he's perceived. I honestly don't know how they look at this guy. We know he's an incredible talent. I don't know if he's considered an outstanding teammate. I do not know if he's considered an outstanding team leader. He's not a team captain. That doesn't bother me. I as I've said now 10 times, I'd pay him tonight. Obviously, up until April 18th or April 19th, they're saying, screw that. We got him locked in this year, year four of his rookie contract. Why are we going to rip that up? Why would we rip up a rookie contract and pay him a veteran contract? I mean, only a fool would do that. Well, I'll tell you why you do it. He's unhappy and he's not here. And if he doesn't show up for training camp, good freaking luck. That's why. All right, more of a conversation on this. I know the lines are packed. Do want to get to you on it. I'm not trying to raise your blood pressure on a Friday night. I'm really not. I hope there's nothing here. Because I'm tired of 5-11. I'm tired of the no attention. I'm tired of hearing that Cleveland has four primetime games in 2019, where last year the Jaguars went a bad call away from the Super Bowl and they got two primetime games and one was flexed out. I'm tired of the bottom of the barrel. But boy, if your best player is AWOL, you are up against it before the season even begins. And you'll never be able to recover for that. All right, more of your calls coming up. That is an automatic in hour number two. Into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. You've heard Greg Huntington on with me. He was on with Leon Searcy as well, talking about their big event, raising money for a tremendous charity. Also, Greg, highly involved with Advanced Disposal, and they're hiring right now out in Clay County, a $1,500 signing bonus. You do need a CDL, a commercial driver's license. If that is the case, apply online. Go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. Outstanding benefits, very competitive pay. And benefits are so important nowadays for everyone, you know, for you, your family. So get with a great company like Advanced Disposal. $1,500 signing bonus, yep. Clay County. And they're hiring everywhere, but the $1,500 signing bonus applies in Clay County. So to supply online, advanceddisposal.com/careers. So let's get back to you know, our conversation here. Granted, I'm maybe a little bit overly concerned, and I hope I'm dead wrong on it, because there's nothing I want more than for Jalen Ramsey to be here and to be happy and play well. That's the most important thing. But reading between the tea leaves now, with Tom Coughlin's comment, now the response, that to me sounds like there's friction building. And, you know, who's going to budge first? We won't know until mid-June when there's mandatory minicamp. If Jalen's here for that, then I think you breathe a little bit easier. But he'll still have another 6 weeks to decide what he wants to do. Or not 6 weeks, but about, yeah, I guess it will be 6 weeks until the, third week of July, when the players do report for the very beginning stages of training camp. Boy, it's hard to believe it's right around the corner. I mean, it's really here. Easter weekend, Good Friday, I mean, the 19th of April. Where is the time gone? Let's grab some calls. 641-1010. Let's go to Nick, who is on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Welcome.
Ricky.
Yes.
How you doing? How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Listen, I completely disagree with you about paying Jalen Ramsey. I think what the Jaguars should do, if they were smart, the front office would look at the 16 teams in the NFC, and they would pick the team that had the worst roster. The absolute worst roster. I don't know who that is. Maybe San Francisco, maybe it's Arizona. I don't know. But whoever it is, I would call them up and I'd say, I'll trade you Jalen Ramsey, the best cornerback in the league, for two first-rounders.
Wow. Well, a lot of national members of the media think that that's a possibility. They've been saying it for months. I think that there's no way that that would happen. And why do you think you get two first-rounders? I mean, here we are, we're talking about Antonio Brown. I know Mack fetched two first-rounders, and he's younger. And I know Cooper forced a first-rounder, but look at what Antonio Brown forced. You know what I mean? And I think the difference there is that there was so much negativity being thrown around with Brown that the value in return was next to nothing. The Mack situation, there wasn't any negativity. It was about future signability. I guess you can say the same thing about Cooper, although he was underachieving. I don't know what the response would be with Jalen Ramsey. Would it be like Marlon? I mean, would it be like Khalil Mack, or would it be more like Antonio Brown?
More like Antonio Brown. Among the fan base. Is that, mm-hmm. that's what you mean, right? Yeah.
Well,
among
I mean, as far as the, you know, the being attractive enough to fetch, as you're saying, two first-round draft picks.
Yeah, he's the best cornerback in the league. He's the best cornerback since Deion. Well, I guess you could say Richard Sherman, but I think since Deion.
But a lot of people think Antonio Brown's the best wide receiver in the league. Now, I know he's older. I know he's older.
What, 32 or something? This dude has been in the league a long time.
I think he's 30. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. You know what? I still wouldn't trade him.
Send him off to the NFC, then you're not going to see that team again you're going to see that team one time every 3 years. And like I said, if they've got the worst roster in football, they're not going to matter to you anyway. So in other words, this will come back to haunt you, come back to like, oh, what a mistake this was. Look, now Jalen Ramsey's on the other side of the ball, and he's beating the Jaguars. That's not going to happen because you're sending him to the NFC, a team with the worst roster over there. You're getting two first-rounders for him. I don't know if you remember this, Rick, but before the season started, there was some sort of fracas between the players on the field. And the media, I don't know who it was, they were there and they reported it, right? Well, the next day, Jalen Ramsey is like tweeting almost like vaguely veiled threats to the media, like, we got something for y'all and this kind of stuff. I mean, I just think that this dude, you know, is more trouble than he's worth.
Thanks for the call, and I absolutely remember that. It happened with Philip Heilemann, and he blocked us all because of it. And, you know, he doesn't allow us to follow him on Twitter. I don't know if he's on Instagram or any of that. I really don't do that. Jalen and I are good friends on MySpace. Arizona and San Francisco select 1 and 2. Wow. I know those are the examples that you gave us. There's just no way that I believe that either one of those organizations gives that amount up to get Jalen Ramsey. If so, you would have to think about it. If that call came in to Tom Coughlin and it came in to David Caldwell, you would have to think about it under the terms of, is Jalen Ramsey going to be a concern for us as a football player? He clearly wants to be paid. He's been suspended once. He missed the week in Minneapolis a year ago. I just don't see how teams would give up two first-round picks to get Jalen, as great as he is. And again, I know the Bears gave up a lot for Mack. But I'm looking at the recent deal with Antonio Brown. Mack didn't come across as a problem. It came across as signability. And with Cooper as well, but I think with Cooper there was the lack of numbers, productivity. And I'm just trying to think of others that you can really compare this to, because that's the way the league is. I still wouldn't trade him. I think that Jalen Ramsey is headed to the Hall of Fame. I do. I really think he's headed to the Hall of Fame. And I know that's hard to say after 3 years. But I think he's going to give you 10 years of this. So anyway, that was a good call. I appreciate that. Let's grab some more. Let's go to Chris, who was next up. We go into the night on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. How you doing, Chris?
I'm all right, man. How's it going?
All right.
All right. Yeah, this Tom Coughlin situation, I think, honestly, not need to, but you don't want him going down a slippery slope, because as much as we revere Coughlin as this disciplinarian, won two Super Bowls, he's also the guy that re-signed Blake Bortles. I think people are going to remember him just for that as much as everything else. So on that end, I feel like, yeah, if you ask Jacksonville who's more of a concern in our eyes, I think we'd be more concerned of the guy who re-signed Blake Bortles just to end up benching him in the season. I think we'll be more concerned about whoever made that decision more so than a two-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro.
There's no question, Chris, that we are always prone to remember what has happened last. And I think the AFC Championship game of 2 years ago is a long-distant memory, in that a lot of mistakes have happened, some that were uncontrollable, including a lot of injuries. But your point about Blake Bortles is an extremely valid one. And I was pretty outspoken about a month ago when Nick Foles was introduced, and both Dave Caldwell and Tom Coughlin went as far as to say that they didn't regret the signing of Blake Bortles. And I made the point that night that I thought that owning up to what I perceive and you perceive as a mistake would go a little bit longer with the fan base, but they elected not to take that particular stance.
And do you feel, on that end, in a sense, that's like selfishness, because it's like a sense of arrogance. It's arrogance and kind of selfishness to feel like you're content with your decisions, but Jalen Ramsey and Telvis Smith content to practice. For example, Jalen want to practice with his father. He's content with that, but you're willing to publicly criticize that.
But, yeah, yeah. You know what? Thank you very much. Appreciate that call. I don't mind what Tom did. I'm also pretty redundant on this. I also don't have a problem with Jalen wanting to be around his young family, because he's so good. He's so special that he can stay away. And I'm a team guy, but please, there are separate rules for separate players. I would have been absolutely PO'd if Leonard Fournette didn't show up after everything that his season was about a year ago. And, you know, I mean, we heard all the right things. He was off in Wyoming and all that stuff. And then obviously got in the foolish trouble here with a driver with a suspended license. I don't feel the same way about Telvin Smith. In my opinion, Telvin Smith should be here. Telvin Smith did not have a good year. He missed a ton of tackles. And he really is their defensive leader. Their defensive leader is not Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's the best player on the football team. The defensive leader, vocal-wise, is Telvin Smith. Without any question, it's not even close. Calais Campbell is a leader by example. I know, I'm the sideline reporter. I see what goes on right there. The most vocal guys that have been a part of this football team on the defense the last couple of years have been Aaron Colvin and Telvin Smith. Yannick Ngakoue will snap, and he's a phenomenal football player. Malik was pretty active. Gibson and Church had moments. Church, to me, was the consummate professional. Boye is pretty quiet. Campbell is pretty quiet. Avery Jones is quiet. Marcel Darius is quiet. Miles Jack is quiet. Your chirpers are Telvin, and it was Aaron Colvin, who's been gone now for a year. This is going to be year two. No one talks like Telvin. Holy smokes. Kelvin's your defensive leader. When Paz was here, he was a leader by example. Kelvin needs to be here. He did not have a great year. He may be pissed because he thinks he's going to be traded. He has been subjected to trade rumors for a very long time. They paid him as he lived up to his contract. Here we are. I've had that conversation about, you know, you outdo your contract. You want more. What about not living up to the contract? Did Kelvin live up to his money last year? No, he didn't. I still think he's a good football player. For the record, I would like to be able to save this with Kelvin Smith because I don't think you're going to get adequate return for him. You're going to get like a sixth-round pick for him. Now, if your thought is let's get rid of the salary, then that's a different story. But we're talking about a one-time great defense here that all of a sudden is minus Dante Fowler. And I know that happened halfway through the year. Barry Church with two games left. Deshaun Gibson, Malik Jackson. Do you want to add Kelvin Smith to that list? You start making all those moves, sounds like a rebuild to me. That doesn't sound like a reload. You're not reloading with a six-round pick. Sounds to me like you're in rebuild. That small window. A year ago at this time, I was talking about this team and the Super Bowl. I mean, hell, I need to get into politics, LeVay. Maybe I had to start doing, start talking about religion. I had him going to the Super Bowl last year. How could I possibly miss that bad? Management should come back and take back some of my money. I had him going to the Super Bowl. They won 5 games. And look how quickly this league changes. Again, they're going to be projected to be last in the AFC South. So, get some real good calls tonight, Friday nights around here. We're going to continue with them. Let's see. We'll go to Hayden. We'll go to Joe, among others, 641-1010. It's a Friday night in Jacksonville. You are Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, more of your phone calls coming up in just a little bit. Let's see, the 1794 just said, that guy is out of his mind. Jalen needs to be here for his whole career. You don't trade someone who has the look of a first ballot Hall of Famer. Absolutely nuts.
It's a little disrespectful.
The 9428 says, it's heartbreaking that Jalen Ramsey has never demonstrated that he is a total team player. I think he is a team player. I think there's been a little bit of immaturity for Jalen. But that's kind of his way. He did the same thing at FSU, and he's doing it here in Jacksonville. He's earned the respect of the players. Some guys just don't love being leaders. Rappaport could dunk on Andrew Cicilline. 5411 says. Put me down for a second career block. The only reason why is I'm a skill guy. I don't block. I don't. I'm one of those guys that if you're not throwing me the ball, I'm not even going to run my route. I do not block. But I'm making my second career block right now, LeVay, because this hammerhead just said, of course Ballew was talking about Jalen Ramsey. He went to Florida State. He only talks about Florida State. I'm putting down my second career block right now at 824.
What's crazy about is that that's obviously those two blocks have been in the span of like, what, a month now? Out of your whole Twitter span career in the last 2 months.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm hurt by it. I just don't need foolishness in my life. You can't teach stupid. Honestly. I don't care how much of an FSU hater you are or how much of a Baloo hater you are. If you think I'm talking about Jalen Ramsey tonight because he went to Florida State, no, I don't need to fill in the rest of it. I'm gonna block you. Simple as that.
That text actually came through when you were talking about UCF in Matt, after Matt's conversation.
Yeah, I did 12 minutes tonight on UCF. So, hey, listen. All the power to you. It happens. Let's get back to some of these calls. 641-1010 is the number. Let's go to Hayden. He is next up into the night with Rick Baloo. Welcome.
How's it going, man?
Hey, how are you?
Number one, I just want to give a quick shout-out to the Bulls baseball team. Went out and saw them play against PV today. 10-0 shutout. Finished with a mercy rule in the fifth, and Jackson Ballmeister got a no-hitter out there. So shout-out to them.
It's a great baseball in high school going on right here in town.
Yes, sir. Providence is looking good.
They got a couple of kids going to Florida, right? Yep.
Yes, sir. But I did want to make a couple comments real quick about some of the previous callers. On the first guy talking about trading Jalen Ramsey, two things about that. Number one, if you're Arizona, why do you do that? You're giving up two high first-round picks because they're not going to be good. They're not going to contend the next 2 years, as far as we know.
Yeah.
So why would you give up two probably top 10 first-round picks for a guy who's going into the last year of his contract right now?
Absolutely.
With the hope of maybe re-signing him. So there's that. And also, if you're Jacksonville, why would you trade away the face of your franchise? But
it almost seems like, you know, we always talk about how it's a great deal for both teams. This almost seems like it's a bad deal for both teams.
Exactly what I was thinking. You just spoke exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. And number two, I wanted to take a quick second to talk about the whole thing with Jalen and Leonard and Telvin and all that. Number one, I definitely agree with you. If Leonard didn't have his butt here, we would go and find him and bring him here.
Yeah.
I would do it myself because that's just inexcusable if he wasn't here. So it's a good thing that he's here. And then Telvin, I definitely agree with you again on the fact that Telvin should be here. I think that he's being just doing the whole thing about, you know, not wanting to get traded and kind of showing he's upset.
Yeah.
And then number three about Jalen Ramsey, if you were to ask me, do I like the fact that Jalen's not here? No, I don't like it one bit. Is it one of those things that I'll get over that I'm not gonna make a big deal about it? It's not that big of a problem to me.
Yeah, and, you know, as I often say, thanks for the call, there are different rules for different players, and I don't have a problem with Jalen being here. My problem is I'm looking at a worst-case scenario here with this situation, and I just can't imagine how hard that's going to be on Jaguar fans if all of a sudden we hear holdout. Oh, I mean, I feel your pain. The expectations were so incredibly high, and they underachieved. And the Moles thing was the Foles thing was kind of a mixed review. There were plenty of you out there that wanted him and liked the move. There were others that said no. You wanted a rookie quarterback. You wanted to draft one. Heck, I wanted Dwayne Haskins, who apparently now is in a free fall. I mean, anywhere this guy ends up now won't be end up being a shock. And I've met Foles, and, you know, I certainly hope for the best. I want to see this team win. But, I mean, again, the situation, if all of a sudden Jalen didn't show, that's just going to destroy this football team. And then all of a sudden, here comes the chess match with the poker faces. Who budges first? Remember Shad Khan? As soon as he took over ownership of the team? A businessman? Remember his comments on Maurice Jones-Drew? Do you want to live through that as a Jags fan? And again, I'm emotionally scarred about this because of what we just witnessed with Antonio Brown. And I want to get back to these calls because I don't want to be redundant on my opinion, but I know that we're always gaining new listeners and people haven't heard what I've said earlier tonight. I think the Antonio Brown situation is going to force other moves like this in the NFL. I hope it's not with Jalen Ramsey. Jalen's a real difficult nut to crack. He really is, and I've seen some changes in him since he got here. Some for the better, some not so much. But he is so dynamic. He is such a great football player. That's why, again, I'd sign him and get him in the camp as soon as I can. All right, let's get back to some of these phone calls. Let's bring in the counselor, Charlie Jimerson, who brings us words of wisdom each and every night on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. What do you say, counselor?
Baloo, my man.
Yes.
We're both on the Friday night grind. How you doing?
Man, this is no grind here. I'm sober. I'm happy. And I'd like to say the same for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, happy, maybe not sober, maybe had a couple cocktails, but
yeah.
Enjoying the company of Rick Baloo nonetheless.
Some proper 12 tonight, perhaps? A little Conor McGregor? Irish whiskey?
You know, we're under the Buffalo Trace. Some small batch situation with the bourbon, and we're enjoying our Friday night because we work hard this week.
Awesome. What's up?
So my question is, you know, what I don't know is, and the real economic analysis is, we're going to have to pay Jalen substantially, right? And how does it extrapolate across the NFL for a cornerback to be the highest, if not the highest paid player in all of the teams? So what I just don't know is, you know, who do you pay and how would it reconcile with Jalen being the top guy or one of the top guys?
Yeah, he's either going to be one or he's going to be two. He's going to be right there with Nick Foles. And, you know, there's not a lot of corners that are number one in the league. I'm just thinking of overall defensive players, and they would have to be guys coming off the edge. I got to believe that Mack is number one right now in Chicago, and Lawrence is number one right now in Dallas, and situations like that. You just saw the big deal with what's-his-name who left New England and went to Detroit, Flowers. And then again, Stafford makes a pretty buck. Yeah, I mean, you always want your quarterback to be number one because this is a league where you win with your quarterback, and if you have – you know, a high-priced quarterback, chances are, although I think the top five highest-paid quarterbacks this year, believe it or not, actually didn't even make the playoffs, which is another story itself, but I think you understand where I'm going with it. They're going to have to pay him, and when that happens, he's going to be the highest-paid guy on this team right there with the quarterback. It just comes down to, do you do it now, or do you wait for another year or possibly two when they make the move?
Well, Ricky, that's the gravamen of my question: is do you pay a cornerback?
Yes.
You know, is that your priority?
You pay him because he's a future Hall of Famer. I think he's the best cornerback in the NFL, and I think his football is only getting better. This guy plays hurt. This guy shows up every game. He's worked on things that, you know, when he got here, he only had what, two or three career interceptions at Florida State. That was the big knock on him. He didn't have great hands. He's worked on that tremendously. He's very good against the run. I mean, this is a guy that could be a shutdown corner for another 7 or 8 years, and then you can move him inside, you know, the way they did with Rod Woodson at the end of his career and make him a safety. So you're going to have to pay him, but the way that the league works, he's under year four of the rookie contract. He's a first-round draft pick, so you put that team option on him, and then in year six you could franchise tag him. So the Jags don't have to do anything.
Yep, you're right about that. My greatest fear with Ramsey is he's a Richard Sherman 2.0. And, I'm a poker guy. I like to make some bets every now and again. And when you have a losing poker hand, you know that it's a Sherman situation. You got to fold as quickly as possible. And I'm not saying fold on Jalen Ramsey because he's a once-in-a-generation elite talent. But I don't know that he's the ultimate winning formula for this team to get to the Super Bowl as your cornerback being the number one or number two highest paid player.
Yeah.
I'll hang up and take your rest of it commentary off there.
Happy Easter weekend, Charlie, to you and your family. There he goes, Charlie Jimerson, who gives us his expertise in the world of the MMA. We like to call it the takedown. And hold on, we got a fight going on here. There's been no scoring in Toronto-Boston as we're locked into period number two, 3:10 to go. Now, I'm trying to do a radio show here. I looked up a moment ago and Boston had scored, but then I saw the Zebras infiltrate the crease and the net. They went to Toronto. The game tonight's in Boston, but they went on the phone to Toronto to check with the NHL executives about whether or not it was a goal or not. Apparently, it was not a goal. So, no score tonight in this game with 3 minutes to go in the second period. You know, one thing I haven't said is if I thought that there was zero possibility of Jalen Ramsey not holding out, then I would never consider paying him now because it hurts the football team to pay him now. You take advantage of rookie contracts because they're slotted in a rookie system. And here we've talked all week about the NFL and the NFL Players Association and the way that they have collectively bargained so many different rules, including voluntary workouts. Well, the NFLPA also put in the rookie slotted system because there were so many disasters that were made, especially by quarterbacks. You can go back to the days of Ryan Leaf. You can go to Cade McNown. You can go to Jamarcus Russell. I mean, look what that can do to an organization when you're paying a guy $40, $50, $60 million and he's awful. That sets you back forever. The Blake Bortles signing wouldn't have set back Jacksonville if they didn't re-sign him. The Luke Joeckel signing didn't set back the organization financially speaking. On the field, that's a different story. Dante Fowler didn't set him back financially speaking. None of those contracts did. And that was bargained by the Players Association. But in the same token, the kid needs to live up to that responsibility of being a first rounder. And remember, only first round draft picks teams can have a fifth year option on. If you're selected in the second round, you're 4 years and out. First round, the team gets that fifth option. They've already slapped it on Jalen. He knows he's going to play for, you know, with the signing bonus, I think it's prorated to around $5 million a year. For Jalen Ramsey, that is way under his value. But that's not the Jaguars' fault. That's the Players Association's fault. They agreed to that. So if I knew that Jalen would never hold out, then yeah, I'd make him play out year four of his rookie contract. And I'd make him play out the team option for year five. And if I can't get a deal done, then I put a franchise tag on him in year six. But I'm concerned that he's not going to show up. And if he doesn't show up, this team, which is already projected to finish last in the AFC South, all of a sudden is really going to be up against it. And it's going to take the whole city with them in a one-horse town. So, we'll see who moves first. This could be a moot point if Jalen shows up in August. If he doesn't, then look out. That could be a massive problem. It doesn't happen around the league. You don't re-sign first-round draft picks in year four. I get that. This is a special set of circumstances. And again, the Antonio Brown deal last week or last month really has me concerned. There's going to be more who are going to follow suit. All right, I'm way past the post. Let's hit that right now. We'll come back, grab a few more calls, got Truth Teller news and notes. We go to 9. James and Denny take over then. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, very busy Friday night. Great weekend to you and your family. Enjoy your Easter. Hopefully the weather will do its part. Orlando as well. I'm taking my kids to Universal. Be a lot of fun with them. Be a lot of fun for me because I don't have to wait in all those lines. They're kind of like now, like, Dad, you know what? You really don't have to go, so I'm just going to be hanging at the Hard Rock Cafe pool. I'm going to bring a couple of cigars with me. I'm going to have a cooler in the hotel room. But obviously, I'll be buying the drinks there. I mean, I can't even get into the hotel room until, like, what, 4? My kids want to leave at 7 a.m., so we'll be there by, what, 8:30. They want to get into the park. Hopefully, it's a nice weekend over there. I like these theme parks so much better now when I don't have to actually be there. And that's what's great about Universal is that you got the hotels that are connected right to the theme park. So you park the truck, the Key Sierra, and you just hang there all weekend. Let the kids have all this fun. You end up being a pretty good dad out of the deal. Oh, let's grab a couple of these calls. Truth Telling News and Notes is typically what we do right now. Obviously, we've been very busy tonight with this subject, so I'm not going to do that. But I do want to remind you that truckcrashlaw.com is the place to go if anyone has been injured or unfortunately even killed in an accident. And it happened out on the road by a truck, a tractor trailer, an RV, a bus. They're the only law firm statewide who does this. And that is their expertise. And they're based right here in Jacksonville. And they're outstanding people. So go ahead and give them a call. Or better yet, just go to their website. That's truckcrashlaw.com. Let's grab a few of these. Let's go to Jordan, who's next up. How you doing, Jordan?
What's up, Rick? Hey, man, I miss you in the midday chalk there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm here at night now, you know?
Yeah, it's a little different because I don't get to listen to what you got to say. But this whole Jaguar thing, man, from the expectations of last year, it was, you know, everyone was hyping them up and stuff like that, but... my dad used to always be like, man, the Jaguars suck. And then when they went to the AFC playoffs, he was like, I'll become a Jaguar fan if mm-hmm. they beat Tom Brady. And they didn't. But other than that, they've always had, what, less than 5 wins for the last 3-4 years. So I'm kind of just going to be a moderate of just, you know, Jaguars, you know, if they win more than 5 games, then that's great. But all these new talents, I like Nick Foles. I don't mind that. And then, they were talking about how it's involuntary training camp, right?
Right now is just the OTAs.
It's voluntary. My bad. But does it matter, like, whether they show up then? I mean, they have the opportunity. You know, maybe they're just using their PTO not to come in. I don't know. But
no, you know, listen, I mean, the way that it's looked at with a guy like Jalen Ramsey is that is he going to be any less of a great football player because he hasn't been here for the OTAs? No, I don't believe that. And oh, by the way, I totally subscribe to the every snap counts type of theory. Jalen is so special that I don't think with him not being here is a big deal at all. Again, Tom Brady's not in New England right now. I realize he's won 6 rings. Julio Jones is in Atlanta right now. There are others who are holding out. So it's not that big of a deal. Where I think it really does apply is leadership, continuity of your teammates, meeting some new defensive guys. You know, 88 of them are out there sweating and, well, not technically. Well, yeah, they are. They're working out. They're doing things like that. And they're learning. They're in the classroom. He's got a new defensive back coach. There's a new defensive line coach. There's some new defensive players. You got Dom Capers now, who kind of is overseeing the defense as the eye in the sky with Todd Wash, who's still your defensive coordinator. And Jalen's a smart guy. He can play catch up. But there's your answer. You want your guys there. The other side is he's got a young daughter. He wants to be home. His dad's got a tremendous workout facility. And he's taking advantage, again, of what has been collectively bargained. This is voluntary. Now, it has always been voluntary / you better be here. But it's voluntary. And he's taking advantage of that. So, I know it's a long-winded answer to your question, but that's honestly the way that I do believe this. I don't think it's going to affect Jalen at all. He's still going to be as great of a player as I think everyone out there listening expects him to be. Him being here is for other reasons, as I just documented. And you know what? You talk with a lot. The best people to talk about on this are ex-players, guys who played in the league before. You know, go talk to Jeff Loggeman about this. Then go talk to Tony Boselli about this. Then go talk to Greg Huntington about this. Or talk to Dave Wydell about this. Or talk to Dave Tom McManus about this. Or go talk to Greg Hardy, Kevin Hardy, about this. Or go talk to John Yurkovich, who's in the media in Chicago, about this. Or talk to Mark Brunell about it. Or go talk to Fred Taylor about it. Or go talk to Maurice Jones-Drew at the NFL Network about this. Or Jimmy Smith, who will be here next weekend. And you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a talk to Keenan McCartney. Well, Keenan's on the staff, so his opinion, you know which way that will be. But the guys that I mentioned, go talk to Big Sofa about it. He's in town. Go talk to Scobie about it as a kicker. He's in town. Or Hollis about it. He's in town. And you know what you're going to get from these guys? Totally different opinion. Totally different opinion. Out of the guys that I mentioned, there are a couple in that group that were big, powerful NFLPA guys. And my guess is that they have no problem with Jalen exercising his right of a voluntary workout. There are others out of the names that I just mentioned who live here in this city who probably think, you should be there with the team. That's the beauty of all this. Get a different opinion from all those ex-NFL Jags.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
James Coleman is here. Back in the days in Tallahassee, when you guys had summer workouts under Coach Bobby Bowden, if there were guys... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even look at you. I saw the black...
That's awesome.
I saw the black sweatshirt.
I can answer.
He said he saw the black sweatshirt.
Yeah, I saw the black sweatshirt. I was looking at my phone. Well, you know what? Hey, listen. James Coleman and Denny Thompson, tough to tell you two apart. It really, really is.
I was going to let you roll, too. I was just going to...
Don't worry, all the sports then guys look alike.
Okay, I was going to say, you guys really do look alike.
Good thing I cut my dreads.
See what? Listen, Bo, we've been doing this now for what, 4 months? Yeah. Typically at 10 and 9 on a Friday night, deep into it, and I'm not. I'm sober. That's my problem.
Oh, that's true.
But my answer, when you guys had summer workouts, because we talk so much about voluntary workouts here, you guys had 85 scholarship players. If there were guys who weren't working out and you know they could have been there, but they elected not to be, what was the reaction?
Really, it was just they better be ready to pass their PT test at the end of the season. The only reason I showed up to workouts was because if I showed up to, I think it was 90% of the workouts, I didn't have to run, I didn't have to pass. I had to run the 16-110s. Uh-huh. I just didn't have to pass them. I had to run 16-110s at, I believe, 14 seconds. And if you don't make it, you have you had to run 16-110s that morning before camp. So there were 16 sessions. Yeah. So if you missed all 16, you had to run 16-110s before practice.
Four times.
Each time. So, perfect example in this, from high school, college, and pro, I never saw a situation where we had 90% of the team show up, over 90%. So, when I listened to Tom Coughlin, be a curmudgeon about all of this, you literally are focusing on two players when you have over 90% of the guys there. I don't know what Telvin's situation is. Jalen's done this 2 years in a row, and then when Jalen comes out on Twitter and literally says, I talked to you about this, when your coach said, the coach said he hadn't heard from him, but he says, I told you what it becomes, and he tells you why. It becomes old man yelling at the water because a guy spending time with his daughter.
Mm.
I don't want that. If I'm the PR team of the Jags, this is the last thing I want. First and foremost, when he makes that, you put yourself on notice with the NFLPA. You can get fined for that.
Yeah, because it's his fourth offense. Yeah,
you talk about professionalism, obligation, and things like that. You have an obligation to the franchise to always put the franchise in the best situation. Now, had this been a situation where Jalen and them didn't communicate or whatever, you have a little bit of it. But, it's pick and choose your battles. It's not necessary.
And, Coughlin wasn't around for us to ask if he has spoken with him. But we did ask Doug Marone about that earlier in the week. And he said he reached out to both Telvin and Jalen and he hadn't heard back. Now, that was as of Tuesday. They could have reached back Wednesday, Thursday, or today. We just don't know.
Who knows? Right now, as he said, she said. So yeah. Jalen says, I talked to you guys, told you I wasn't doing it. They said it didn't, but it's just all now we're talking about
semantics. We need something else to happen. I'm so over this story.
Exactly.
Well, it could get worse if he doesn't show up in August. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean,
I just didn't ever get the sense that it was Jalen. Like, I think everybody's that has an ire towards this is towards Telvin.
There's a Jaylen. Difference. I mean, right, Jaylen's the best corner in the NFL, and he plays every game. He plays hurt, does all this. Telvin, you know, there's some talk about a trade, and he missed a lot of tackles.
He didn't have a good year, regardless.
He did not have a good year.
And what I hope it's not is I hope it's not Telvin thinking that he's in that same class as Jalen. Like, I hope Telvin's working like we all know Jalen is. Like, that's
I'm sure Telvin always puts in the work.
Yeah, I've never seen Telvin just didn't have a good year. I've never seen Telvin out of shape.
And so, I hope they can solve Telvin, because you're not going to get anything for him. You're going to get a 6th-round pick for him. The problem is
the money.
He's looking at his future. The future money could be an issue.
Yeah.
For Telvin. All right, Denny and James coming up right now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys. That'll do it. Thank you to Matt LaVey for producing the program right here on this Friday night. That's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend. Remember, tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They're hiring right now in Clay County. You need a CDL, a commercial driver's license, and it's good for a $1,500 signing bonus. Apply online. Go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. My name is Rick Ballew. We're back Monday, 7 to 9, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.